What a good God. What a great day to be alive in the house of God and in his kingdom. The prophecy is coming to pass on every hand. And I'll just tell you, if you've ever thought about living for God, you need to get it done. And if you ever thought about backsliding, this would be a bad time to do that. You just need to tie a knot in the end of the rope and hold on, because these things are coming to pass. We are they upon whom the ends of the age have come. And it's an amazing thing to watch it cascading. And every generation has thought about their day and thought about it in terms of the conditions of the day. And it's always been the world, and it's always been bad in the world. But I'll tell you, Israel is in the land. Russia and Iran are doing business together. The prophets are reaching out from 3,000 years ago, and they're writing their names on these generations. This is the day that these things are coming to pass. And oh, what an exciting day to be alive. Now, you could get afraid of that, but we're not afraid of it. We trust our God, and we believe that these are going to be not only the greatest days of prophetic fulfillment, but these are going to be a great day of revival. The prophet said, I'm going to pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And that's happening all over the world right now. And we're excited about that. This is a wonderful day to be alive in the kingdom of God. We're thrilled to have Brother Zach Wells with us this morning. We appreciate the good word of God in his life. We want him to come this morning. Brother Wells, we love you. We love the ministry of the word. Just stretch forth your hand toward him and tell him, preach to me, preacher.
Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Woo, isn't it good to be in God's house today? Hallelujah. Amen. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need it today. Amen. Why wouldn't you want it? It's the gift of God. Amen. You know, it doesn't matter who it is here today. If somebody's got a gift for me, I want it. Free t-shirt. Doesn't matter. You're the same way. The day after Thanksgiving, you go get up daylight, before daylight. Some of you don't even go to sleep. You go to these stores because they're going to give you something free. And the creator of heaven's got a gift for us today. Amen. I don't want to leave it on the shelf here this morning. I want whatever God's got for me. How about you? Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be here today. Amen. Give honor to Pastor and Sister Sutton, this wonderful church. And amen. They've been, I don't say this to flatter, but for as long as I've been alive, they've been here, I guess. How many years you been here? 27. So they've been here. They got here when I was 3. And so I've been around them all my life. And they still look the same as they've always looked. They're just steady, consistent, you know. And that's the kind of people I want to be. Amen. And I appreciate their desperate drive for the things of God. And you can feel it around them. And amen. One of the most powerful testimonies you could give them is, and I know most of you know this, but when you get around them and their family, amen. God and family is the most important things in their life. And amen. That's the way we ought to live. Amen. It's good to be here. It is my privilege to be here. I always leave fuller than I did, than I came. And I don't know. For some reason, when I leave here, I feel like the balance didn't get set right. And maybe you understand what I'm saying. Most places you go, you give out, and you feel like you, when you left, you did what you're supposed to do and kind of tipped the scales. But here, it's almost like you get more than you give. And amen, that's a testimony to you. And I enjoy being here, and thank you so much for allowing me to come. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts. Amen. Acts chapter 10. I'm going to preach something here this morning. Being an evangelist is a pretty cool thing, because you get to preach a message 20 or 30 times and figure out where it works and what doesn't work and throw the parts out you don't like. When you're a pastor, you get one shot about every 5 years. And if you got people in their Bible in their church with nothing else to do, they write everything you preach down in their Bible, you don't even get to preach it every 5 years. So I'm going to preach something here today that I have preached in the middle of another sermon. And I've said this here before. And today we're going to see if it'll stand by itself. If it don't, maybe we'll fix it tonight. If it does, hallelujah. But amen. Acts chapter 10, also the book of 2 Peter, or 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Also going to go there. Acts chapter 10 and 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse number 1, chapter 10, book of Acts. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Amen. I wonder if that could be our testimony here this morning. He was devout. He feared God with all his house. He gave much alms to the people and he prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Amen. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Amen. I want to preach this morning on the outside looking in. Amen. On the outside looking in. Let's ask the Holy Ghost to help us today. Father, we trust you. We lean upon the Holy Ghost today. We lean upon the Word of God that you're going to help us. God, we trust everything about your Spirit. We trust everything about your Word. And we know that you will not lead us where we don't need to go. I pray today that you help us fill somebody with the Holy Ghost this morning. In Jesus' name, we ask it. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. It is a peculiar aspect of the Word of God. Until Isaiah chapter 58, an obscure scripture. Actually, it's Isaiah chapter 58. There is an obscure scripture that brings out just a glimpse of what is going to happen. Until that point, all of God's dealings with mankind and with humanity are dealing with one select group of people. It was his chosen people, his apple of his eye, if you will, his chosen tribes of Israel, the people, the descendants of Abraham, the children of the covenant. In fact, if you read the entirety of the Bible from Genesis through, it is this entire Bible is about God and his people. In fact, if you can read it objectively, you will almost begin to feel some sort of rejection by God in those statements that he made, such as this: I am not sent but to the sheep, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's almost as if God is only concerned about his people throughout the Word of God. And to tell you this morning emphatically that is exactly the case. Amen. What we are feeling here this morning, what you have felt here today, no matter if you're a Christian or not, if you're just a visitor here today and you have felt any sense of stirring, any sense of conviction in your spirit here this morning, amen, that was completely absent in the Old Testament except for God's people. In fact, you and I, the Gentiles, amen, everybody from Alabama surely is a Gentile. Amen, in the Old Testament, the Bible did not even consider us a people. We weren't even real. We were here. We had flesh. We had bone. We had bodies. We were made from God's image, but we had no connection with God. In fact, he had no eye after us. His heart didn't turn towards us. We were not his people. In fact, throughout the Old Testament, you will see that God only dealt with his people. He only talked to them. He loved them. He carried them through trial and tribulation. He carried them through struggle. He carried them to Egypt and out of Egypt. And he did many wonderful things for them. And the Gentiles, you and I, we had never felt what we felt here today. We had never heard God's voice. We had never heard him speak. We had never felt his touch. We had never felt his presence. We had never heard his words. We were never a part of what he was doing in the earth. There's an obscure scripture in Isaiah that God begins to talk to in chapter 56. He said, the Lord God, in Isaiah's prophetic word, he said, the Lord God, which gathereth the outcast of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him besides those that are gathered unto him. In this seemingly obscure scripture, it's just a little sentence at the end of a chapter that Isaiah, maybe he didn't even know what he was prophesying, but he's prophesying to the people of God. He's prophesying to a people that have time and time again. In fact, that is pretty much the sum total of the Bible until this point, that God's people would be wooed to him and he would serve them. They would serve him and he would love them and he would have communion with them and he would have relationship with them. But then something would happen and they would turn their backs on him and they would go a whoring, the Bible says, after other gods. And they would turn their eyes to Baal and they would turn their eyes to Molech and they would go away from God. And God, the God of heaven, the creator of all things, for by him were all things made and not without him was not anything made that was made. The God of heaven, the creator of all things, had a people and he would constantly call those people, come back to me. I love you. I'll be your redeemer. I'll be your deliverer. I'll be your God. If you'll just be my people, I'll be your God. If you'll just be my people, I'll establish my sanctuary among you, he said. If you'll just be my people, I'll establish my tabernacle with you. Moses, if you'll just be my people, I'll meet you at the mercy seat. Moses, if you'll just tell them to be my people, I'll feed them manna in the wilderness. I'll feed them quail in the wilderness. I'll be the water from the flint rock. If they'll just be my people. It was always God's concern that Israel would be his people. The Jews would come to him. He said, I just want you to love me like I love you. I just want you to serve me. I want to be your God. I want to do exploits for you. I want to deliver you out of the fiery trials. I want to establish you as the head and not the tail. I want to bless you abundantly. I want to chase you down and tackle you with blessings. If you'll just be my people, if you'll just serve me, if you'll just obey me, I'll command the blessing upon you. If you'll just do what I tell you to do, I'll bless everything you touch. I'll bless you when you go in. I'll bless you when you come out. I'll bless everything you put your hand to. If you'll just be my people. And Israel never gets it right. In fact, if you read Judges and Samuel, Chronicles and Kings, about the longest that Israel ever serves him continually is about two or three generations. Even after the miraculous bringing out of Egypt and taking into the land of promise, the Bible says, and after Joshua's death, there arose a generation that knew not the Lord. And God said, I just want you to be my people. I just want you to serve me. I just want you to honor me. I just want you to worship me. I want to tell you something about God. The Bible says, the Lord seeketh such to worship him. He's looking for worship. He doesn't need it, but he wants it. He's looking for it. He's coming down among his people and he's seeking. I just want somebody to worship me. They that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. I just want somebody to worship me. I just want Adam and Eve to serve me. That's why I created the earth, so men would seek me. The Father seeketh such to worship him. Israel keeps turning her back on him. Every 40 or 50 years, they go away from him. They completely forget that he's the God that delivered them from Egypt. He tried his best to make them establish memorials throughout their lives that would cause them to remember him. He told them at the Red Sea, at the Jordan River crossing, he said, set stones in the river so that you'll remember me in time to come. He said, remember me when your sons are old enough to ask the question, what mean these stones? Tell them that God delivered you from Egypt. Tell them that God brought you out by a mighty hand. Tell them that you're my people and I'm your God, and I'm a great God and I'm a mighty God and I'm a delivering God, and I just want you to be my people. They would turn their back on him and they would get the error of their ways, and they would get the recompense of their deed, and they would ask God, why have you forsaken us? And he would tell the prophet to say this, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement? I didn't divorce you. You left me. I didn't turn my back on you. You turned your back on me. I didn't go away from you. You went away from me. I just wanted to be your God. I just wanted you to be my people, and you kept going away. Come to me. And the Bible said, finally, he came, my God have mercy, he came as a baby in a manger born of a virgin. He prophesied for a millennia that he was coming. Behold, thy king cometh, and he brings salvation. Behold, he cometh riding upon the foal of an ass. He's coming. Blessed art thou, Bethlehem and Judah, for out of thee shall come forth a ruler whose goings forth have been from old to everlasting. I'm coming to be your God. I just want you to be my people. The Bible said in the book of John that he came to his own, and his own received him not. Consider the God that created all things, made himself flesh, came, and John said, we beheld him. We saw him. In the beginning, he says, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him. We saw the invisible God. We touched the invisible God. He said after his crucifixion, handle me and see if I'm not the very Christ. He said, I want you to know that God became visible. I'm trying to get you back to me, Israel. I want to be your God. I want to be your deliverer. I want to be your king. I want to be your God. And so the entirety of the Bible is about God and Israel. And Isaiah says in 56, but there's some other people. You don't even know who they are. And they don't even know who I am. See, we never knew what God was. That's why you go back in your history book. Inside of us, because we're created beings, there is a drive to have a God. Because God created us with an emptiness inside of us that can only be satisfied with worshiping him. That's why the Bible says, for ye are complete in him. And so within every human being is a drive, reptilian, if you will, instinct that there's something higher and we need to worship it. And so we know we need a God, but we don't know what God looks like. We don't know what God sounds like. We don't know what God does.
So we tried to fashion ourselves gods. We made gods that had big bellies. We built fires in them, said surely that God would desire our children. And so we built fires in the belly of those gods. And we took our newborn babies and threw them in because we didn't have a God. And we built gods that looked like half men and half wolf because we don't know what God looks like, Brother Sutton. We've never had a God that could be touched by the feeling of our infirmity. We've never had a God that we could call on. We've never had a God who could be felt. We've never had a God that had a voice that we could hear. And so we don't know what God looks like. And so we make image after image. We make God look like an eagle. We make God look like a lion. We don't know who he is. We make gods and we serve those gods, even though those gods have no ears to hear, and those gods have no eyes to see, and those gods have no mouth to speak. And as we're worshiping these stone gods, in the beginning we know that we created them, and they must have our faith to exist. And we watch the people of God come and serve our gods who we know cannot be fed. And Israel's the beautiful maiden, the apple of God's eye. As my old pastor said, the fob of his heart. He's the one that his soul longs for. You want to know what the book of Song of Solomon is about? It's about God and Israel. Come back to me. I want you to love me. I want to love you. I want to be your father. I want to be your king. I want to be your husband. I want to be everything to you, Israel. Come to me. And Israel keeps turning her back on him. She's the beautiful maiden. This is the Alabama version here. The Wells version. It ain't a very good seller, but it preaches good. It's kind of like those old books, you know. You can't read them because they're written in the dialect, you know. Israel is the beautiful maiden with the beautiful eyes and the long, beautiful hair, and she's the one that God loves, and she's the one that God's after, and she's the one that God's been wooing since the beginning of time. Come to me. I want to be your God. I just want you to be my people. And Israel will come, and she'll dance with him for a while, and then she'll turn away and go to our gods that we've created, and we're on the outside looking in. We're the girl at the dance that's just glad to be there. We didn't get invited, we just came. We don't know what it's like to be asked to dance. Nobody's ever asked. I'm trying to be tactful here this morning. We're that old gal that you can't look right in the eye, you know. Because one eye look at you and one will be looking off this way. You know? I ain't making fun. I'm just telling you what we are. And our hair's kind of patchy and stringy and we ain't never put it up because we don't even know how. And our clothes are out of date. And our dress is hung up in our pantyhose. We're just glad to be here. We're at the punch bowl and we don't get, you know, you're supposed to not fill your glass all the way up. I didn't know this till just a few weeks ago. When you get punched, you're supposed to get one of the little cups and let it get about half full and then walk around and drink for 3 hours. The other day I was at a party and they had them little cups and I went and found me a big cup in the kitchen, one of them big 32 ounces. Filled it up at the punch station. You can't take me nowhere. In fact, every time I leave by myself, my wife just gets all tense and nervous. We're just excited to be here. We don't know how to act. I mean, if you talk to us, we just start, ooh, hi. We ain't never had no attention, you know. and we see God in Israel. And Israel's beautiful, and she's perfect, and she knows how to act in the presence of God, and she knows that God is after her, and she knows that she can get away with murder. We know. We're so scared. We don't even know. We're just standing here like, hi! And we watch God throughout the entirety of the Word of God. As he tries to woo Israel back to him. Come to me. Just be my people. Just be my people. We don't know what God sounds like. We don't know what God feels like. We know our gods demand a lot of us, and they give us nothing in return. We know our gods are made from stone because we fashioned them with our hands. We know our gods are made of wood, hay, and stubble because we formed them in our own perception of what God was. And we watch the creator of the world continually woo the love of his life. Come to me, Israel. Come back to me, my love. And we watch as Israel keeps flaunting herself in front of him and turning her back upon him. And we're just standing at the punch bowl saying we're excited to be here, but we know we're never going to get asked to dance. And then Isaiah prophesies, I'm going to gather the outcast of Israel, but this time yet will I gather others with her. We don't know what that means, but it makes us excited. And so we come to the dance and we got a full glass of punch and we're standing there just hoping maybe one day he'll just look our way. And in Acts chapter 10, he starts looking our way. I want to tell you something. You can shout about Acts 2 and you can shout about Acts 8, but you can't really shout till you get to Acts 10. Because the Bible says there was a good man, Brother Sutton. A good man. He was a good, devout man. He prayed all the time. He gave alms to the poor. And the Bible says that all his prayer and his alms came up before God as a memorial. And so God sends an angel down there and says, Cornelius, you're a good man. I'll tell you something, you can't go to heaven just being a good man. I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't go with girls that do. It don't matter. You can't get good enough to get God. But somewhere, there's got to be something. I'm praying all the time. I'm seeking God. But there's something I don't have that only he can give me. Cornelius, you're a good man. But being a good man is not enough. Being a good moral Christian person in this life is not enough to save you. And so the angel comes to him and says, there's something you're missing. There's something you don't have. You've got a lot going. You've got a good pursuit of God. But there's something you need. And he said, okay, God, tell me what it is. God said, nope. I ain't gonna do it. But there's a guy in Joppa. Go get him. And here we go. Here's what we don't like. And he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. See, even good people need to do something. I'm a good person. I'm a good moral person. I ain't never stole anything from anybody. I ain't never hurt anybody. I'm a good person, but God said, yeah, that ain't enough. There's still some things you ought to do. So he says, go get Simon, and he's going to come and tell you what you ought to do. Now, Simon don't even know it. But God's working on two fronts here. It's only 20 after. Woo! We got a long time. And so while God's talking to Cornelius, he's got a preacher in Joppa, goes up on the housetop, and God talks to him, and the Bible says God caused him, or he caused himself, to get very hungry. Some of you are very hungry this morning. Very hungry. And the Bible said when he got hungry, he would have eaten. That's a sensible thing. When you get hungry, eat. And so he turns to walk downstairs to make himself a sandwich. And God says, whoa, I want to talk to you. Peter turns around. The Bible said he goes into a trance. God gets him stuck right where he wants him. And while he's hungry, the Bible said there came down a vessel out of heaven, knit at the four corners, north, south, east, and west, in case you're wondering what the four corners are. Everybody. The whole world, the whole nations of the earth, and Peter don't know what God's doing, but God's got him where he wants him. See, because it's not been very many days since Peter messed up royally, and God said, I forgive you. If you love me, I love you. Okay, feed my lambs, feed my lambs, feed my lambs. Peter says, oh, maybe he asked me three times because I said three times I didn't know who he was. God said, no. And Isaiah 56 and John 10, there are other sheep I have that are not of this fold. The old gal standing at the punch bowl going, hey! Snaggletooth, we don't have a full set of teeth between three of us. We can't get it all together. We've never had a God. We don't know what he's like. We don't know what attracts him. We don't know what causes him to do anything for us. We're just here. We're just excited to be here. God says, Peter, as the vessel comes down, and the Bible writer says it was like a great sheet. The whole earth knit at the four corners, and in the sheet were all manner of common and unclean things. And God said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter looks over into the vessel. He's one of God's chosen people. He's one of God's disciples. He looks over in there. And imagine the audacity, Brother Collins, the sheer arrogance. He says, not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Yeah, but you said 3 weeks ago you didn't know who I was. Shut up and pay attention. Rise, kill and eat. And then he thumps Peter in the head and says, hey, don't call what I've cleansed common and unclean. Peter says, what are you talking about, God? And the Bible said that the sheet came down three times. And every time it came down, looking into it were everything that was supposed to be off limits, everything that was not supposed to be touched, all manner of uncleanness that was in there. And God said, Peter, partake of this. And Peter said, I can't because it's common and unclean. And God said, I want to tell you something, Peter. I've cleansed it. And don't you call what I've cleansed common. He said, I'm coming to a people who are not a people. I'm coming to a people who've never had a God. I'm coming to a people that never knew how to get my attention. I'm turning to other sheep, and I'm about to bring them into the fold, and there'll be one fold and one shepherd. So Peter goes downstairs, makes himself a sardine sandwich. And there's a knock on the door. He opens the door. There's three guys there. He says, hello. They said, hey, are you Peter? I am. Good. Come with us. I don't know if they had guns or knives or spears or whatever. Probably nothing. Probably they just said, come with us. And God said, hey, go with him. So Peter goes. When he walks in, he realizes this is a Gentile household. These people have never had a God. And here's how messed up we are. Cornelius falls down at Peter's feet and starts worshiping. We don't know what God looks like. We don't know what God sounds like or looks like. Maybe this is God. Falls at his feet. Peter said, get up. I'm a man just like you. And all of a sudden, the paradigm begins to shift. And Peter said it without realizing it. I'm a man just like you. Jesus gets up. Peter says, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. And then he says, I have been shown by God. Watch this. Not to call any man common or unclean. He said, I don't understand this. I've been the people of God all my life. God's only had one people since the beginning of time. But all of a sudden, God seems to be doing a new thing. And these people who were not a people, these people who have never known God, it seems like God is sending me to them. Peter again preached to them about Jesus Christ. He began to preach to them the day of Pentecost message. He begins to preach, and the Bible said, and here's where all of us Alabamians and Louisianans and Mississippians and Texans can stand up and start rejoicing, because the Bible said while Peter was preaching, the man with the keys to the kingdom, the man that unlocked the code of biblical salvation, he began to preach the message of salvation, and the Bible said while he spake, the Holy Ghost fell on them, and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit, and the people who were not a people, the girl who never got invited, all of a sudden God said, if you'll be my people, if you'll be my people, I'll be your God, I'll be your deliverer, I'll be your healer, I'll be your savior, if you'll just be my people. Hey, we're about to have a Holy Ghost explosion in this place. Musicians, come, I'm finished. Can you imagine with me? I've never been to a dance, so I really don't know what it means. I'm just going to preach it like I think it ought to happen. I see that old gal standing by the punch bowl with her sonic cup of fruit punch. She's probably wearing a denim skirt, t-shirt to a black tie event. She don't know nothing. Her hair still looks like it did this morning when she woke up. I'm telling you, Bo, we were Walmart people. We didn't know no better. You know, people, it's kind of like in the South, you see people, they're just so messed up. And all you can say is bless their heart. Just don't know no better. Just don't know how to act. We were those people. We never had a God that could be touched. Well, by the feeling of what I'm going through, brothers. You mean the creator of the world knows where I'm at? Ooh, there's an old song. I don't want to sing it because it's not made for church. But an old man said, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never pick a pretty woman to be your wife. He said, if you pick an ugly girl, now I'm just preaching what he said. I didn't obey his doctrine. He said, if you marry an ugly girl, she won't ever leave you. If you marry an ugly girl, she won't ever cheat on you. That's what he said. Now, God's had a beautiful wife, a beautiful girlfriend since the beginning of time. And the Bible is full of her discrepancies. In fact, God told her in the book of Hosea, many are your whoredoms, but I'll still take you back if you'll come back. We ain't never been kissed. We ain't never been danced with. We're so ugly nobody pays us attention. But all of a sudden in Acts chapter 10, the God who is the only God, the very God of heaven, the creator of all things, the one who by all things were made. He turned to the Gentiles. He said, baby, if you'll be my wife, I'll give you my name. I put my name on your forehead. I give you a crown. I give you a robe. I turn your mourning into dancing. I give you beauty for ashes. I give you... I would have liked to have seen it as God turns his eye on us. And we give him our old snaggletooth grin. And we start blushing. And we get all giddy. We don't even know what to say. And God extends his hand. And we see Israel, his beautiful maiden, going after one of our gods that we made out of stone. And God gives us his hand and says, would you like to dance? I kind of feel like Cornelius' house was like New Life on Sunday night. You see, because Israel knows how to dance beautiful. Israel knows how to dance with integrity. We don't know nothing. We don't know how you're supposed to act. But when all of a sudden the God of heaven said, would you like to be my people? Not only will I be your God, I'll give you my spirit. I'll give you my name. All of a sudden something started. We couldn't help ourselves. We did a flip. We started running. And we haven't quit yet, because he came to his own and his own received him not. But he turned to the Gentile. It's Sunday morning, but God caught us on the rebound, and now we got a God that can heal us. We got a God that can save us. We didn't have a Holy Ghost fit. Peter writes in my text, he said, but now you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, watch this, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness, where in time past you walked after the prince of this earth and the powers of this earth, and you walked in fornication, and you walked in sin, and you walked in unrighteousness. But the Bible said he called us out of darkness. Into his marvelous light. Isaiah 60. Arise, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light. We who are not a people now aren't just a people. We don't just belong at the dance. Now we are the people of God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He's not just our God. He's our Father. So we're here on Sunday morning. We're all Gentiles. There's a reason we can't stop dancing. Because we have not an high priest who cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. But we got a God that loves us. We got a God that worships us. We got a God that seeks our worship. So if you're here this morning and you don't have the Holy Ghost, God wants you to have the Holy Ghost. You're not a people, but God's calling you. If you'll be my people, I'll be your God. I'll bless those that bless you. I'll curse those that curse you. I'll give you the promise of the seed of Abraham in the spirit. I'll give it to you if you'll just be my people. Ooh, we're about to have a Holy Ghost fit. If you're here this morning, you need the Holy Ghost. God wants to give you the Holy Ghost right now. He wants to give you the Holy Ghost before we leave. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, God wants to give you his name. That at that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Here we go. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to imagine with me. The first time Gentiles felt his spirit, when he fell in that house and they began to speak in other tongues, and Peter said, look here, they're talking in tongues just like we did. Where's water that they may be baptized? That moment when God became the God of the Gentiles. That moment when the Gentiles became a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people, and now we were not a people, are become the people of God. His eyes on Jerusalem, but we are his people. And he's coming back for us. The outcast, the other sheep, the ones on the outside looking in. He's brought us into one fold. If you're here and you need the Holy Ghost, I want you to come right now. In the name of Jesus. Come on, church. I want us all to come. We're about to have a Holy Ghost celebration. We're about to celebrate again the book of Acts, chapter 10. Come on. The day that God turned from his people to us and said, if you'll be my people, I'll give you my name. I'll set my spirit in you. I'll give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'll establish you forever. In the name of Jesus, I'm about to pray and they're going to turn it loose and we're about to have a Holy Ghost shout down. I know it's Sunday morning, but I want you to celebrate what God did in Acts 10 when he turned to us. We who were not a people, we didn't deserve him. We didn't deserve a glance, but he turned to us. Every head bowed, every eyes closed, every hands lifted. The musicians are about to play. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, I want your spirit to fill this house. God, we feel you here right now. God, we want to thank you for turning to us. We ain't ever going to leave you. We ain't ever going to turn our backs on you. We ain't ever going to cheat on you. We want to be your people. We want you to be our healer. We want you to be our savior. Come on, lift your hands. If you need the Holy Ghost, receive the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, church, let's celebrate. Let's thank him for what he did in Acts 10. If you got the Holy Ghost, I want you to begin to praise him. Yes, imagine him taking you by the hand for the first time. Oh, lift your hands all across this house. Somebody, he came to his own, had his own received him not, but they which received him now have the power to become the sons of God. He wants to dance with us. He wants to dance with us. Why don't we dance with him today? He's done for me. When I think of who I was and who I am now. Come on. Hands are lifted. Hearts are open.
All night.
Come on. Lift your hands in this place. All across the house. I want what he wants for me.
I get joy when I think about. He gives me joy.
Come on. Why don't we take him by the hand and dance with him a little bit?
He gives me joy.
He's my God. I'm his people.
Joy. Oh, God is a good God. Oh, God is a good God.
Yes, he is.
I said God is a good God.
Yes, he is.
Oh, God is a good God.
Yes, he is. God is a good God. I know God is a good God. I know my God is a good God.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he's God. He's a good God.
Somebody, come on, let's serve him. Be our God. Be our God. We'll be your people.
All night.
The reason I can't stop dancing is because I never danced before. Yes.
All night. just send it on down.
Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down.
Send it on down, Lord, send it on down.
Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down.
Oh, when I think about Jesus, what he's done for me.
When I think about Jesus, how he's set me free.
I get joy when I think about. He gives me joy.
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 Joy. Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy. He gives me joy.
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 Oh, God is a good God.
Catch on fire.